We have in the studio today two very familiar voices, Evangelist Kevin Brownfield and Pastor Wynn Kimbrough, who are in the middle of discussing with us a series that we've entitled The Power of the Gospel. And Kevin, you were actually the one who kind of came up with that title. Maybe you can just kind of recap for our listeners a little bit why you thought of that title and what motivated you and how all of this fits together.
Well, when I was in high school, I really became fascinated with the whole concept of nuclear energy. I was reading some time back about the nuclear explosion, and I got to doing some reading on that, and I thought, you know what, that's powerful. And then one day I was reading through 1 Thessalonians, and I got through chapter 1, and I had one of those moments in my life where the Spirit had just really gripped my heart because of what God had done in the gospel. And all of a sudden, this connection was made for me that, yeah, nuclear explosion is powerful, and that's how we often define power today. But there is nothing so powerful as the gospel, because it doesn't, like the nuclear explosion, just destroy. That's what a nuclear explosion can do. The gospel has the power to change eternity and the heart of a man and do incredible things. And so we started days ago with 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, how that gospel message had gone to a place very much like our time today, this Thessalonian setting, and the gospel had reaped incredible change in the hearts of the people, and they had turned to God from idols. And we've kind of ever since then been journeying through as we looked at the history of the gospel, and we've kind of come to the place where we're talking now not as much about the content of the gospel, but we're talking about that great exchange. As we were looking at Romans 1, we kind of brought our way through. He was not ashamed of it. He had an obligation to it. He was ready to preach it. And then he preached that gospel, but now we're to the place where we really want to talk about what is this exchange that makes this message so powerful.
Yeah, he in verse 16 talks about the gospel being God's enablement of people to be saved.
Mm.
And the people that can be saved are anybody.
Yes.
It's whether it's a Jew or a Greek or a barbarian, anybody who wants to be saved can be saved. God will enable them to be saved. The condition is faith. And we talk a little bit about faith. Okay, now, what is it about this story that can do that for a Greek or a Jew who wants to be saved? What is it about this story that gives it this kind of power from God? And the answer is in verse 17. For, and the word for there is because. All right, now Paul's going to give us the key. The reason this story has this kind of power to change anybody who will have trust in what God said about Jesus Christ is this. Because in the story, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith.
Mm.
Now, we have to ask the question, what does Paul mean when he talks about the righteousness of God? And my understanding of verse 17 is this. It is a righteousness that belongs to God, that comes from God, that is his own righteousness, that he imputes to people who don't have it but need it. So another way of saying it is this. In order for anybody to go to heaven, they have to have God's very own righteousness. And Paul talks about this in Ephesians when he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that what?
Not of yourself.
Not of yourself. Literally, not out of you is the way the text reads. It is not out of you. And so Paul is literally saying here in verse 17, for a person to be saved, to be made safe from God's wrath, they need a certain kind of righteousness. And the only place to get that righteousness is from its source. The kind of righteousness they need is God's very own righteousness. And the only place to get that righteousness is from God. And he's the only one who can impute it and impart it to people.
You know, as you were talking about that, what is so interesting about the fact is Paul is the one that is preaching that message. But Paul is a man who was very much in trust of himself for a long period of time.
Oh, yeah.
Because he had his own sense of self-righteousness. Philippians 3, he gives a list of things that he had his faith in. And the truth is, everybody is religious because everybody is going to put their faith in something. And Paul gives this great long list of things, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, is touching the law, Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law. He said, I'm blameless. And then he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss. And so Paul said, I had all these things that I counted as my way to God, that God was going to give me a pass to heaven because of what I had done. And then Paul says, I have denounced all of those things, because there is no righteousness in and of myself.
Pastor Kimbrough, could you look up Romans 10? Could you read verses 1 through 3? Because, you know, Kevin, I think you're onto something. I mean, what Paul said in verse 17 is this. The reason the gospel has this kind of power is because of all the stories on the earth, it is the only story that contains a righteousness, a certain kind of righteousness from God. Mm. Without which no man will see God.
Yes.
No man will stand in God's presence and be accepted into God's family and be permanently allowed to dwell in the tabernacles of God or heaven unless they have this kind of righteousness. And the only place to get it is the story called the gospel.
Yes.
Now, you pointed out that Paul had spent his entire life among a nation that were pursuing another kind of righteousness. And so, Pastor Kimbrough, if you don't mind reading the first three verses of Romans 10, I think it'll be real clear as you read the words.
Yeah, I'd love to. And then maybe I could give a comment on this life-transforming power along with that. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God.
See, there's two righteousnesses being contrasted.
Yeah. Yes.
The most righteous people on the planet in Paul's day were the Jews. They had been given the laws of God. They had been given the prophets of God. They had been given the oracles of God. They had been chosen out of all of the other nations. If there was a nation that had been given more light than any of the other nations, it was Israel. And they were pursuing, even with all of that, the wrong kind of righteousness.
Right.
And so Paul says there's only one place. I mean, if the most enlightened people on the planet are pursuing the wrong kind of righteousness, then there's got to be a place for the right kind of righteousness, and it's this story called the gospel. And it's going to take people who are pursuing their own righteousness, like the Jews, and transform them. Look at me, I'm the first illustration of that. And it's going to take people who are way out in darkness, who never had the law, who never had the prophets, who literally worship pagan idols, and it's going to bring them to the right kind of righteousness as well.
Actually, I want to comment on that, because you are talking about the power of the gospel, and there are listeners in all of us here today who have a history of our own of the time we came to the gospel and its power. For me, I was 10 years old, and I did know that I was a sinner and that I needed Jesus to be my Savior. I wanted the gospel message. And I was thinking, while you guys are talking about this, and it just thrills my heart in to remember this, I had a relative who was so distant from God, the kind of person that you would think would never, ever be able to become a Christian, literally a drunken derelict for a lifetime. And he was invited to a service, and an evangelist preached, and he responded to this powerful gospel, and his life so totally changed. A very backwards man that had lived a drunken life, but the gospel was so powerful. Mm-hmm. And he was a very unrighteous. He sought no righteousness at all. Unlike the Jews, he sought no righteousness. But the gospel penetrated all of that, and he came to Christ.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right. When the power of God has to penetrate people who are religious and who have a certain amount of light, and it has to reach out and penetrate people who have no light at all.
That's right.
And yet it's powerful enough to do that. Now, the word righteousness here is an interesting word. It is the righteousness of God. In other words, it is a unique righteousness. It is sourced in God. It is the expression of one of God's primary characteristics, which is holiness. Righteousness is acting out holiness. The word righteousness is meeting my obligations, measuring up. And God's holiness means he always measures up. He always meets whatever obligations. There is a unique righteousness that is God's alone. Nobody else shares that in their natural state. So here's an illustration that has helped me, because trying to put all this together in my own life as an individual believer, understanding what happened to me when I was 13 and came to Christ, as I've grown in my understanding, I just marvel more and more at my salvation. Mm-hmm. And as a pastor, sharing this with the congregation of people that are growing and understanding what God did for them is a phenomenal thing. But imagine if I went to Walmart and kind of loaded up my buggy with all kinds of neat stuff in Walmart. We all love going to Walmart. It's like, you know, one of our favorite activities. So we load up our stuff, and I come to the counter, and the nice checkout lady is there, and she rings up all my stuff, and it comes out to $210.49. And I pull out my wallet, and I lay out 300 Russian rubles. And she looks at me and says, we don't take that kind of money here. You can't pay for it in Russian rubles. And I say, well, why not? I mean, do I not have enough? I've got sackfuls of it out in my car. I can bring in sackfuls of it. If you want 3,000 Russian rubles, I got them. You want 300,000 Russian rubles, I got them. I got sackfuls of Russian rubles out in my car. And so if the problem is you want more, I got more. And if the problem is you don't like, I mean, you know, what's the problem? The bill's wrinkled? Because I got ones that are brand new, fresh off the Russian press. I mean, they're not marked. They're unused. I can bring those in if that's what you want. And at the end of the day, that lady is going to say, well, sir, we just don't take that kind of money here. You're trying to pay for the thing you want with currency that is not acceptable in this country. You're going to have to use a different kind of currency. And the point is, when we stand before God and we try to pay for salvation with the currency of our good works or the currency of our church membership or the currency of our baptism, the Lord looks at us and says, well, those are all good things, but we don't take that kind of righteousness here. Mm-hmm. You've got the wrong currency. And the point is, it's not just that I don't have enough righteousness of my own. I don't have the right kind of righteousness. Mm-hmm. The problem isn't that I'm lacking in quantity. The problem is the quality side of it. I don't have the right kind. So I can do as many good works as I want. I could be like Mother Teresa and go live out with the lepers in India and just give my life to that and still end up coming to God with sackloads of that kind of currency. You know, I can be like Pope John Paul II and literally be the force that unleashed the fall of communism in certain parts of the world. I can bring all that currency to God, and God will say to me, that's the wrong kind of currency. Yeah. That's the wrong kind of righteousness. You need a different kind. Well, what kind do I need? You need some of my righteousness. Well, where do I go to get it? And the answer is, there's only one place. What if I go to my church? Wrong place. What if I go to my culture? Wrong place. What if I go to the morality set? Wrong place. There's only one place to get this righteousness, and it is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Titus says it is not by works of righteousness which we have done.